Welcome to the Genealogy Happy Hour, a place where new family historians can learn to document their family histories and celebrate their new discoveries. I'm Amy.
And I'm Penny, and we're here to help you discover your family tree from the beginning. Welcome to episode 95. This is going to be a great episode. Amy has a really good mystery that she is trying to solve, and you guys are going to love it. In addition to that, we've got a really good DNA tech tool, and we're going to be talking about research trip prep for our research trip that we've finally committed to for this summer.
I'm excited.
Yeah. We're probably going to need to bring some wine with us for that trip.
I think we will.
Amy, I think you have a really good suggestion for this.
I do. This is one of my favorite wines. It is King Maui Cellar Reserve. It's a Marlborough Sauvignon Blanc from New Zealand, and it is zesty and bursting with tropical passion fruit nectarine flavors. It's got a hint of grass, vibrant acidity, and a long crisp finish. Today's episode is sponsored by newspapers.com, your go-to resource for unlocking the stories of your ancestors. Dive into the newspapers where your family's history unfolds as you search nearly a billion pages in seconds. Newspapers.com offers an unparalleled treasure trove of historical newspapers, providing a window into the past. With newspapers from the 17th century to today, Newspapers.com is the largest online newspaper archive. It's a goldmine for anyone seeking to uncover stories from the past.
Whether you're a seasoned genealogist or just starting your journey, Newspapers.com makes it easy to search for obituaries, birth announcements, and the everyday stories that shaped your family. It's like having a time machine at your fingertips. And here's the best part. Our listeners get an exclusive offer. Use promo code HAPPYHOUR for a 20% discount on your subscription. That's HAPPYHOUR at Newspapers.com. Sign up today at Newspapers.com and embark on a journey of discovery. Okay, Amy, so you have a mystery in your family that you gave me a little bit of hints about, and I'm so intrigued.
Well, yes, I do have a mystery, but I'm very frustrated because I have not solved the mystery.
But still, I think that this tale that you're going to take us on is quite intriguing.
It is quite intriguing. And it's, you know, it's 20th century research, so you think it would be easy, and it's not. Not yet, anyway. But it revolves around my grandmother's oldest sister. She was born in Michigan in 1883. She married a man in Michigan, and they had a child, David, who was born in 1898. They were enumerated in the 1900 census. And then sometime between 1900 and 1910, they moved out west along with her husband's father. So her father-in-law went with them. So it's a group of four traveling out west. And my grandmother said that her mother got a letter from her sister on the way. They were in Colorado somewhere. And she had sent a letter or a postcard. And that was the last time they heard from her. And my great-grandmother always, my great-grandmother, she lost two other children when they were in their 20s to tuberculosis. So she just had my grandmother, who was her youngest, and then her oldest, my grandmother's oldest brother, only two children, you know, around at that time. And she really missed her little redheaded grandson, who was the baby David, who went out west and she never heard from again.
Okay.
So, and he was probably about 5 years old when they left, I think.
Okay. And what year was this when they headed out?
Between 1900 and 1910, because okay. They're enumerated in the 1900 census, mm-hmm. living in Michigan. And then in 1910, they're enumerated in Gardner, Oregon.
Oh, okay.
So they're in 1910. Okay. They're there in Oregon.
Made it to the West Coast.
They made it to the West Coast, exactly, in Douglas County, Oregon. And the husband is a boat builder in the census, 1910. Of course, his wife is there. The baby David is now 11 years old. And then the father-in-law, Timothy, is a blacksmith.
Okay.
So in 1911, in the newspapers, so I've been doing a lot of looking in the newspapers.
Okay.
On newspapers.com, there is an article that says that the couple arrived from Gardner to Coos Bay, Oregon, for Mrs. Prindle's health. Their last name is Prindle. So they left Douglas County, Oregon, and they went to Coos Bay, Oregon in 1911.
For her health.
For her health.
And she's the one who has the two siblings.
Correct.
That
my
died
grandmother.
From tuberculosis.
Yes. And,
okay.
And then, and then she's my grandmother's oldest sibling,
okay.
oldest sister.
Right. Mm-hmm. So ill health is
yeah,
running
exactly,
in this family.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes. And it said that she, okay. I think it says she has been ailing for some time, something
okay.
like that.
Okay.
Then 6 months later in 1911, they're in the newspaper again,
okay.
boarding a vessel to sail from Coos Bay, Oregon to San Francisco, California.
Oh, okay.
So, and it's it lists my great aunt, her husband, and her father-in-law. Doesn't say anything about the child, but,
okay.
you know.
Maybe because
he's a child. He's a child, right, okay. exactly, yeah. And then they appear in Los Angeles in 1913 in the city directory. And again, the husband, it says he's a laborer, and the father-in-law is still a blacksmith.
Okay.
So it has their address. Then in 1913, the same year, they're actually living in the San Pedro neighborhood of Los Angeles. The father-in-law is robbed. And there's a newspaper article that says that he was robbed at gunpoint of $50 at the corner of...
Oh, my goodness.
You know, such and such and such and such. Right. Okay. So they're still in Los Angeles. In 1914, they're still in San Pedro on the same street, same address in Los Angeles. And he's still a blacksmith and they're still a laborer. Then in 1915, still in San Pedro... The little boy, David, he lied about his age. He was born in 1897. Excuse me, he was born in 1898, but he says he was born in 1897 so that he can get a captain's permit or a motorboat permit to drive a motorboat.
Okay.
And those are on Ancestry. And it gives some little background, you know, where he was born. He said he was born in Michigan. He resides in San Pedro. And then... And thank goodness, I take that back. Before the newspaper, they show up in 1917, crossing from Mexico into Del Rio, Texas. There's a border crossing.
Okay, okay.
So they went from Los Angeles to Texas, to the Mexican border in Texas. So...
Wow, you're thinking, like, what drew them there?
Well,
was it her health?
The border crossing, it only, unfortunately, it lists, because they're crossing as a family, so mm-hmm. it only lists her husband on here, but it gives a description of him. It says that he's a marine engineer, that he was born in Michigan, how old he is. It doesn't give his birth date. It gives his full name, Albert James Prindle. And then this is the part that I love, because my great-grandmother apparently had always said, you know, her little red-headed grandson. And it says that Albert the father has red hair, freckles, and blue eyes.
Oh.
So I think that's very sweet. And it says that they were camping down by the creek with his wife, family, and father. They were here for their wife's health. So I guess they were trying to go to drier climate, maybe. Maybe she did have tuberculosis. And that they're inquiring about farming land in the area, that he was born in Michigan, and that he had operated some boats of his own in San Pedro, California, near Los Angeles, but they had been destroyed. Came immediately from Amarillo, Texas, the panhandle. I guess that meant to Mexico. So they went from Los Angeles to Amarillo somehow, and then they went down south of the border, and they were crossing.
That just seems like a lot of travel, especially
right?
for somebody who's not... feeling well.
Right. I know. His father's like in his late 70s at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no, his father has to be, yeah, older than, yeah, his father's like 80 when they're moving around like
okay.
this.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Then a month later, again in the newspaper, it says, unknown Mexican stabs camper near Val Verde, which is near Del Rio. And, so, yeah, the husband gets stabbed, being robbed.
Wow.
Yeah, they were trying to hold him up, and he got stabbed. It wasn't serious, but they took him to the emergency room to have the wound attended to. He explained the matters to the police. He said that he hit one of the guys that was trying to rob him, and that they drew a knife and they stabbed him. But the wound is not serious. So.
Okay. All right.
So.
So, but earlier in time, his father was.
Yes, was robbed. Correct. Okay. These people, and then their boats were destroyed.
Their luck is not good.
Not good, right? So, cannot find them in the 1920 census.
Okay.
I cannot find them in the 1920 census at all. But in 1921, on January 1st, 1921, they're back in San Diego, and the father dies. And it says he's 86.
Oh, my gosh. Probably the trip back. No, that's horrible. I shouldn't say that.
Really, I mean, I just get this. Jeez. Yeah, just back all over the place. So, now they're in San Diego. And the father dies. I have his funeral, the information from the funeral home. I have not ordered his death certificate. But the family then is in the 1922 city directory in San Diego. And now the baby, little David, is now an adult. So he's listed by himself right below his parents. But they're all living at the same address in San Diego. It doesn't give an occupation for the father or the husband, but it does say that David, the son, it says auto electric old town garage.
Okay.
And then they disappear.
And then that's it.
You
cannot find them.
I looked in the 1923 San Diego City Directory, and they're not there. They're also not listed in the 1921 San Diego City Directory, which usually means that they're not there the year before, because they compile all the information prior to publication. So it looks like they were in San Diego for just that 1 year. I don't know, maybe because the father got sick. So,
yeah, because if the father wasn't working, like really wasn't working in 22, he doesn't list it as a job. Maybe he was ill.
Right. Correct.
Not the father-in-law, but the dad.
Husband,
the husband.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, she's been
And she's
sick.
Already in poor health.
Correct.
Yeah.
The only lead that I have, or that I need to check out, is the San Diego Historical Society apparently has a hospital's records from 1922 to 1925. And I thought, well, maybe I definitely need to check those. But none of these people are in the California Death Index. None of them are in SSDI. Social Security Death Index.
Right, right.
None of them are in Social Security Apps and Claims. There's no World War I draft card for the son, who would have been the right age.
Uh-huh.
But that's probably because they were living
in
Mexico.
They're
in Mexico, right? Or they're moving around. And let's see, where else have I looked? I've looked at U.S. reports of deaths of citizens abroad, thinking, well, maybe they went to Mexico.
Yeah.
Nothing. And that goes all the way to 1974.
Yeah, because even if the two parents passed away, you know, where's little
Correct.
David?
I shouldn't
say little David. Where's David?
Right.
You know, where did he go? Did he then trek back to Mexico or, you know?
No idea. And they're not in the 30 census, the 40 census, 50 census. Cannot find them.
And I feel like this David kid, his whole life has been traveling around. Like, he probably...
Right.
So, moved along, you know, like he doesn't seem like I'm going to stay in one place.
Right. So I doubt seriously that there's any land. There's no, you know, they didn't own any property because they're constantly moving.
Yeah.
Unless he settled down someplace, but I don't know where. Now, there were a couple of tangents that we went off on because there's another man by the same name, David Prindle, but he's 10 to 12 years older than my David Prindle. And he worked for the railroad, and he got arrested by the feds for trafficking rum and liquor from California to Omaha or something like that. And I tracked him down, and he's not the same. It's not the same one. It would have made the story more interesting for sure, but that's a different David Prindle.
That would definitely have added to it.
So
I just had two thoughts.
Yeah.
One, what might have been happening in San Diego at the time? Like, was there a weather issue? Was there an illness going around,
right.
you know, that maybe
right.
wiped
Flu
out the whole
something.
Family,
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing?
That's a good idea.
And the other question is, why didn't this woman ever write to her mother again?
I know. Because she was too sick? I don't know. I don't know.
That just seems a mystery to me. Of all the places that you were at, why didn't you send a letter home?
Yeah, never. Never heard from her.
Yeah. Oh, that's so sad.
I know. And the parents, I have to look back to see when when the parents died. I think they died in the 30s, if I'm not mistaken.
And you said that a lot of the... It's a struggle to find the obituary in the California newspaper.
Yeah, a lot of the obituaries are not online. They haven't been digitized. So I know a researcher in Sacramento that will go in and look for obituaries. But yeah. I guess I need to scour something in San Diego. I did a cursory on the library there. I need to go do a deeper dive on that.
Yeah.
See what local... what local resources there might be for research there. But I don't know. These people could have just gone up and gone someplace else.
Yeah.
And of course, there's another family. There's a whole other family with the same names. They're living in New York. But they always stay in New York. I think the guy was a judge or something like that. They're not my family. Even though they are, I think, from Michigan originally. But they're not my family either. They're not these people. So gotcha. I really think that they stayed on the West Coast or the Southwest. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
Yeah.
They went to Canada. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the mystery, it's a mystery.
It's a mystery if anybody has any ideas.
They disappear. So the search continues.
But what a great story. I think you are so darn lucky to be able to have tracked them through those articles in the newspaper.
Correct. That's the only way.
That's
right?
Just crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you get a little slice of life for them, but it looked like it was a pretty tough life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, she can't have been doing well because she was sick the whole time.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Mm-mm-mm.
Traveling around with these three men.
Yeah. Okay.
But what you've got something exciting. You're always so techy. You've got all the tech tools. And I'm so excited about this because I want to try
it. You're going to try it.
I'm going to try it, yeah.
Okay. I don't know how I stumbled upon this. I have used and talked about in earlier podcasts DNA Painter. If you guys are, doing your DNA and you've got some matches, you can't quite figure out how do you match up and whatnot. I'm helping some people do. And let me also state that Amy and I are not DNA experts.
No, we're not at all
by any stretch. Yep. But we do dabble. And anyway, helping some friends do some DNA and. Just looked into mine, still all the same. Nobody knew, nothing exciting. But in my husband's, a new family group or names have shown up fairly close, a fairly good chunk of DNA, like 600-something in the match.
And you don't know who these people are.
I know who they are.
Nobody knows who they are.
Mm-mm. And so trying to figure out where they could possibly be, like how could they possibly be related? So anyway, I revisited DNA Painter just because I am such a visual person. Mm-hmm. I need to see it all laid out. And they have, in their tool section, they have tools and what are the odds, which I guess they call WATO, W-A-T-O, what are the odds? And in this, there's a shared Centimorgan tool. And if you go into that and you... take the number that you are shared, the number you share with that person, and plug it into the top. It gives you this beautiful graph, of that relationship chart. And the ones are highlighted that you could possibly be, grandfather all the way to grandchild, half sibling, half whatever. Your whole array. Only the ones that are possibilities are highlighted. The rest are kind of muted in the background so you can see. But then they have something even better.
for people who are visual.
For people who are visual, yes. They have something even better. And it'll say under the thing, it'll say new, view these relationships in a tree. And you click on that, and it takes those relationship possibilities and puts it in a tree. Obviously, it doesn't have any names or anything in it, but it shows you that tree outline. And then you can put yourself in there and you can, you know, add some names of your tree along the way and kind of see where those other things are highlighted. And it'll even give you a percent, not a percent, but like a chance. Yeah. Like this one is one, but this is 63 or something like that, that this could be the person. You can rule out the ones you know are not right, right if right you know age, that person's age. Yeah. Right, like how far back. There's no way they have the DNA from somebody from 1850, so right. those people are, right. you know, because you're just trying to match your relationship to that person that put their DNA in. Or see how, you know, like, cause you've got to figure out who that is and kind of then go back to see where they came from. Kind of thing.
It's very interesting. You showed it to me online, and it's really cool. I want to try this for my younger son who's adopted. I know who his birth family is and everything, but I found out that his paternal grandfather was also adopted. And I do know his birth name as well. Mm-hmm. I know where he was born. And my son's DNA matches to that surname. And I want to try to do this and see if I can figure if this will help me figure mm-hmm. out how these people relate to him and, you know, to what degree. Yeah. Because there's one guy that's pretty close. And now that's Y DNA. I have to see if he has autosomal too, but
yeah. And I don't know if they do a Y DNA. They have mm-hmm. like, they've got the shared Centimorgan yeah. tool with second amount. So you could put in two right. and triangulate.
I think this guy might have his autosomal on there as well, now that I think about it. So yeah. I want to go in and put that in there and see.
Yeah. They've got a lot of cool. It is such a cool site. It's just fun to play around in, but that was new to me. I hadn't been on in a little while. Mm-hmm. And I was, since I was working on that, I was like, oh, let me see what it looks like. Cause I need that visualization. Right, so if you haven't right. tried it in a while, go check that out and see if that helps you maybe narrow down a match a little better.
Cool. I'm gonna try it. It's cool. Yeah. Yep. Looks good.
Okay. So in July, we're heading to Richmond.
Virginia Research.
Yes.
And so I've started to pre-prep for the trip because I needed to figure out which family I wanted to focus on. And then I had to come up, we have to come up with a research question. We can't just go and start looking for stuff.
Like walk in there and be like, hey.
Well, it can be,
pull up my tree.
I have numerous Virginia lines. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to stay mm-hmm. focused on the one you're looking at. And it's kind of funny because I narrowed it down. I was out of town this last week. And so I narrowed it down while I was out of town. And I came back and I started looking through the resources that I have already for Virginia at home. And I pull open the book. I don't know. I think I looked at both. I looked at Wayland's History of Shenandoah, of Shenandoah County, and then Shenandoah County Abstracts of Wills. And like this family's name is like, I've got little arrows going everywhere and little tabs okay. going everywhere. So this is a family that I have been trying to untangle before. And okay. so we're going to untangle it now.
That's what you're doing. Okay.
So yeah. So I think I'm going to be focusing on the Keller family, which is a lot of Kellers in Virginia. Mm. There's multiple George Kellers, and that's my guy, George. And it's colonial. So it's 17. He was born in 1760, and I need to find out who his parents are.
Okay.
So that's my question. I think
that's good.
The question for right now. That's so who are George, my George Keller's parents? And so I kind of got like all the documents I have are I have a Bible record, which is great.
Uh-huh.
So I know all his kids are. I know who he married and when he married. And I have his last will and testament, which matches the Bible records, which is all great. So I know when he died and where uh-huh. he died. And that's all I got.
Okay.
That's all I got.
So let's just say day one, you go in there and you solve this mystery. You have a backup
I do.
question.
Well, since we're going there, I've already started to look. And, you know, obviously we're both going to be looking at the Library of Virginia's catalog. Online catalog. So we'll have our list of all of the books in manuscripts. But I'm also going through their manuscripts, particularly because they have a beautiful manuscript room, to see if they're all of my Virginia families, if they have any manuscripts related to my Mama families, because I would like to definitely want to see those manuscripts.
So,
I know they have a Bible of my Revolutionary War patriot's son, who's not mine. I go through another son, but okay. they have his Bible there, so I would like to see that. Yeah. So I'm starting to look through.
Okay.
So just right. starting to make my list and then make sure that I have done all of my research here locally before. So I pulled out the NGS research in the States for Virginia mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. I can review that. So just doing pre-stuff. Yes, you definitely have. I have a backup.
Yeah, you're one step ahead of me. I haven't done the pre-stuff yet.
But it's just March.
It's March. So. But you know, time gets away from us. Then all of a sudden it's July and you're like, oh my gosh.
Well, in our podcast, we will have it all ready.
Ready to go.
Ready to go yeah. for our trip. So everyone, we will share that with everyone.
Yeah, this will be fun. This will be fun. Yeah, so we'll be at the library.
It's a beautiful library, too. I love researching there, so I'm excited. And there's so much good food. Anyway.
So much good food. Yes, yes.
We have to celebrate after we've been researching all day.
That's
and,
right.
You know, starving
That's
ourselves
right.
in the library. I know. All right.
Till next time.
Cheers. Thank you for listening. Please email us with any questions or comments at genealogyhappyhour@gmail.com.
Visit our website, www.genealogyhappyhour.com, for additional resources, books, and wines. Don't forget to drink responsibly
and never drink around genealogical documents.